You mentioned, Sylvia, a number of mainstream leaders of mainstream conservative parties that have actually gotten into power in various governments. But are there also more extreme right-wing parties that are gaining traction in this atmosphere?
Well, you know, first of all, many taboos that emerged after the devastations of World War II are being broken. There's more and more brazenness in flaunting fascist and neo-Nazi symbols. In the office of the leader of the Belgian ultra-right-wing party, Vlaams Belang, I saw a framed poster celebrating all the neo-Nazi and militant ultra-right-wing groups of the 70s. And in Berlin, I saw an apparel shop selling coded Nazi items, no swastikas, but Nordic symbols dear to the Nazis. Far-right parties are winning votes from people who used to vote for the left. In the former communist East Germany, the neo-Nazi party has elected representatives in two regional parliaments and in several municipalities. The Sweden Democrats, whose roots are in the neo-Nazi movements of the 1980s and 90s, were elected to the Swedish parliament for the first time last year. The ultra-right-wing Danish People's Party has 25 deputies out of 179. In the Netherlands, the anti-Islam Party of Freedom won more than 15% of the vote. And here in Norway, the far-right Progress Party is the second largest in parliament. What's interesting is that while Norwegian police officials seem to have underestimated the right-wing threat, there are several leading Scandinavian crime writers, the best known is the late Stieg Larsson of the Millennium Trilogy, who focus on the threat of domestic right-wing extremism. It's crime literature this time that's ahead of the curve.
Sylvia, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.